This 100-year-old manufacturing company on Des Moines' east side is an excellent example of Iowa's diverse and vibrant economy, and you're going to hear a little bit more about that in just a bit. You know, in every corner of our state, you'll find successful homegrown businesses like this one, and employees who are eager to earn a living and enjoy life. But for too long, they've been paying too much in taxes. When I took office in 2018, Iowa had the sixth highest individual income tax rate in the country. I believed that our state could do better. So I proposed, and the legislature passed, the largest tax cut in our state's history. And Iowans benefited from the 10% across the board cut in the first year, but we were just getting started. Last year, amidst continued strong economic performance, even while managing the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa took another step forward by enacting an additional $400 million in tax cuts that phased out the inheritance tax, eliminated the mental health property tax levy, and expanded the beginning farmer tax credit. Even after significant tax cuts and historic investments in K-12 education, mental health, broadband, and housing last year, even after storms and droughts and a worldwide pandemic, Iowa ended fiscal year 2021 with a $1.24 billion surplus and nearly $1 billion in our cash reserves. There has never been a better time for bold, yet practical, tax reform, and bold and practical tax reform that meets the priorities of our state. It allows Iowans to keep more of what they earn, and in addition to that, it creates a highly competitive tax system. And this year, I would argue that my tax bill does exactly that. It sets one individual tax rate at 4%, income tax rate at 4%, flat and fair, and these cuts will occur gradually and responsibly so that we do protect priorities like education and public safety. Under the bill, Iowa's four tax brackets in 2023 would range from 4.4% to 6%. In the first year alone, taxpayers will save almost $500 million. And as we move to 2026, tax rates and the number of brackets would both decrease annually until the 4% flat rate is reached. By this time, all Iowans who pay an income tax would see significant cash savings. So let me provide some real-world examples based on average incomes of various professions. An electrician would save more than $750 in taxes. A nurse would save over $900 in taxes. And an average family of four will save $1,300 in taxes, and that is on top of the $1,000 savings from the 2018 tax bill. This historic tax cut will benefit every taxpayer and drive widespread, broad-based prosperity in our state. And we can also accelerate that economic growth by using our tax code to encourage corporate investment in our state as well. Under my proposal, for every year in which net corporate income tax receipts exceed $700 million, the surplus would be used to buy down the top rate, which would go into effect the following year. Assuming a surplus, this process is repeated every year until we reach a 5.5 flat rate for corporate taxes. At this point, once we reach that, the rate is capped and further surpluses go into the state's general fund. We should maximize opportunities for workers by making Iowa more attractive to world-class employers, not less. In a responsible way, that's exactly what the proposal that I just laid out does. Above all, I think it sends a clear message to the rest of the country that Iowa is open for business. For those 55 and older who farmed at least 10 years and retired, it allows an option to eliminate the tax on cash rent or crop share agreements for all of the years that the income is earned. And starting next year, for Iowans who have worked all their lives and saved for retirement, the bill eliminates taxation of retirement income. For most retired Iowans, that actually is a well-deserved full income tax repeal. One important group that would benefit from this aspect of the bill are the employees of companies like LBS. And that's because the company operates as an ESOP. in which every employee enjoys an ownership stake. LBS is its employees, and its employees are LBS, and it shows in the strong culture that we see here today. I encountered a very similar positive culture last month when I had the opportunity to visit a company in Cedar Rapids, Van Meter Incorporated, which is another thriving ESOP. And these are two great Iowa companies who do very different work, but they share a reputation as a fantastic place for employees and as pillars in their communities. So under my bill, when an ESOP employee owners aged 55 or older retire from the company, their hard-earned retirement distribution is not taxed by the state. Just as importantly, however, retirement-aged ESOP employees would not need to retire to benefit. Any distribution for those 55 and older is considered retirement income and therefore not subject to state income tax. And these reductions come on top of the major tax cuts on ordinary wages, or the tax cuts that I talked about at the beginning of the press conference. So we want to do all that we can to incentivize more employers to follow LBS's example by sharing ownership with their employees. LBS has existed for more than 100 years, and most of that time it was owned and operated privately by a local family here in Des Moines. When it became necessary to transfer the company out of the family, they jumped at the opportunity to keep it in the community by creating an ESOP for their dedicated employees. So I want to invite Rob to the podium to tell us more about the company and really the impact that tax reform would have on LBS and its employee owners. Rob? Do you need me to move that? Yeah.
Well, welcome, everybody. We have some fellow ESOPers here with us, so thanks for joining us. And thank you for coming to LBS, Governor Reynolds, to share about your tax plan and how it's going to help Iowans. I can assure you, as a 100% employee-owned company, that our employee owners are very excited about your proposal to eliminate state taxes for 401k benefits and for employee stock retirement programs. As you said in your address to the condition of the state address, employees work very hard for these benefits, and they don't need a percentage of it taken away from through unnecessary taxes. We also want to thank you for staying strong during COVID, from the beginning of COVID, and trusting your Iowa business leaders to make good decisions, to take care of their employees, to keep their employees safe, if you're a retail environment, to keep their customers safe, and to keep their businesses open and keep their employees working. So thank you so much. This past October, as the governor mentioned, we celebrated our 100th year in business, something of which we're very proud, and we're equally proud to have spent the entire 100 years here on the east side of Des Moines. LBS began as a bookbindery in 1921, and today we're the North America's leading provider of bookbinding materials to hardcover book manufacturers. We have customers and suppliers across the country and around the world. This past year has been a busy one. In addition to celebrating our 100th anniversary, we also acquired two companies. And Governor, you'll be happy to know, we absorbed them into our company here, putting more Iowans to work. And over the past century, we've expanded our company by adding two companies, Corporate Image and Archival Products. Archival Products helps institutions like university libraries and museums to preserve their collections. We have an interesting group of customers. Our largest customer is Yale University. We also work at the Library of Congress, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and closer to home, Iowa State and the University of Iowa. Corporate Image, we're surrounded by their state-of-the-art equipment, which we added over the past couple of years to broaden our business. In addition to ring binders and pocket folders, we now provide luxury packaging. So we have customers throughout Des Moines, across Iowa, across the country that are very familiar with our high-quality binders and folders, and we're now adding luxury packaging to that company. As Governor mentioned, for 93 years, we were owned by one family, culminating in 1980 with Fritz James buying the company from his father. He helped grow the company to be very strong, created a very family culture, and then in 2014, we became an ESOP. Becoming an ESOP allowed him to keep the legacy and the culture of the company and keep the business right here in Iowa, with the added benefits of employees becoming part of taking ownership stake. Being an employee-owned company, it's easy for employee owners to drive hard and be motivated to help the company be successful, because they'll bear in the fruits, the benefits, when they leave the company. And those benefits will be even greater with this new tax plan. Employee ownership is a wonderful tool for retention, but it's also great for recruitment. In talking again to some of our fellow ESOPs here, it's difficult to find employees and to hire employees today. The workforce is very limited, and we appreciate what the governor is doing to help unemployed Iowans return to the workforce sooner rather than later. Employee-owned companies have a definite advantage in recruitment, because in addition to our competitive wages and benefits, our strong culture, opportunities for growth, a safe, clean environment that you see here, the added benefit to be part of the financial success of a company is a real advantage that only ESOPs can claim. Now, we know the primary reason for LBS's success isn't just because of innovation, diversification, or growth. It's the employees. It's our wonderful employees. We're very proud to have a diverse group of employees with a wide range of cultures and experiences. In fact, we've got a number of employees that have husbands and wives and sons and daughters. Our longest-term employee through last year of over 40 years, Tang Levan, recently retired. He couldn't be with us today. I think he's enjoying retirement too much. But his wife, Pat, who's standing right there, is here, and she's also an employee, having spent 15 years with Archival Products. So with Tang's retirement, Swan Famvese and Rod Grubbs, standing next to Pat, are now our longest-term employees with over 32 years. Swan actually has a son, Danny, who works for us as well. So that's not unusual. Again, husbands, wives, fathers, sons. We have another employee who's not here with us today. Vicki Howell has over 23 years of experience with us, but her father blew her away. He retired with 45 years with us. So that's a culture that's been going on for decades, and we plan to continue. In closing, we're very proud of our long tradition of having been family-owned and operated, and now employee-owned, and believe we'll keep our company strong and successful for another century. The benefits of ESOPs are undeniable. They've been shown to motivate employees, increase productivity, improve worker retention, keep jobs local, and contribute to business longevity. Now, with the governor's proposed plan, the benefits of being an employee-owned company in Iowa are even greater. So, Governor Reynolds and Lieutenant Governor Greg, wherever you are, we certainly thank you for your employee-friendly and business-friendly policies, and that's why we love being an Iowa company. So, thank you.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate those comments, and we certainly appreciate your continued investment in the state of Iowa and the impact that you're having not only on the state economy but on Iowans in the community as well. So thank you for that. You know, now I'd like to ask Chandler Greer to talk about his experience as an employee owner at LBS over the past year. Chandler?
Good morning, and I hope everybody's doing good. My name is Chandler Greer. I graduated Iowa State University in 2020 with a degree in industrial engineering with a special interest in supply chain management. And I started at LBS in January of 2021, so just a little over a year ago. And I can say for certain that I enjoy working here at an employee-owned company. I also have the pleasure of working here with my younger brother, so to be on the topic of working with family. Most of my work experience before this point has been in restaurant management, and I can truly say that the LBS team made it an easy transition for me to adjust to the warehouse setting. In my time here, I've been able to see firsthand how friendly and family-oriented LBS as a company is, and that goes to show with attending our 100-year celebration picnic that was for customers and employees alike, as well as our employee appreciation luncheon that we held at the Grandview Golf Course here in Des Moines. While on the topic of family, I want to say that LBS is known for its legacy employees, families that have been here, and I can say that I grew up hearing about LBS and how great it was to work here by my dad, Raymond, who is thankfully here with us today who worked here and retired from here for 22 years. And on top of my father, Raymond, that worked here, my great uncle Bill actually worked with Corporate Image and LBS for over 40 years. And both of them have been able to retire from LBS and are benefiting from the benefits that LBS supplies for us. And from an early age, I knew LBS would be a great environment for me, especially because I heard stories from my dad growing up, but I was also able to attend the family functions that LBS planned for their employees and families throughout the years. For example, in late summer in my childhood, we would have picnics at a local miniature golf course in Ankeny, and I always loved going to them, and we went to them for several years. Personally, I have worked for corporations, franchises, and even small family businesses, so I can say without a doubt that I do enjoy working as an employee owner at an employee-owned company. I have access to short-term and long-term benefits that I've never had the opportunity to be able to have, and it really comes in heavy, along with the safe and fun work environments that come with that. Through my year of employment, I've had the pleasure of working with a team of my peers to better not only my department, but the things that we are able to give to our customers. And I can say without a doubt that here at LBS, our voices are heard and listened to regarding departmental changes and procedural changes throughout the department or business. And I just want to thank Governor Reynolds for visiting us and being able to have us here with the press conference. And I want to say for certain that I enjoy working with Rob Moritz and all my fellow employees here at LBS. And thank you for being here.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Chandler. I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate hearing it from your perspective. I think that that's so important. I did have a chance to talk to him before we came up to do the press conference, and I shared with him how excited I was that he chose to stay in Iowa. We have to do everything that we can to retain our existing talent while we're trying to bring new people to the state of Iowa, but we certainly need to retain the talent that we have in our state, and so we're so happy that you're here and you're still an Iowan, and I love the family story. So thanks for everything. And thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. You know, it is fascinating, I think, to see the way employee ownership aligns the interest of a company and its workers in a way that benefits everyone. By passing the tax reform bill that I proposed, our income tax rate will move from one of the highest in the country to the fifth lowest, making Iowa one of the most tax-competitive states in the nation and truly a destination for business. With one stroke, we can reward work, take care of our farmers, and support our retirees in a responsible way. Other states are ready to act boldly, and so must Iowa. It's true that we at the Capitol will have maybe a little bit less to spend each year, but Iowans will actually reinvest those dollars in our economy. They'll spend them on our main streets, supporting local businesses, and putting something aside for rainy days. Communities will prosper and families will rest a little easier. And as I said, in the condition of the state, it was the theme throughout it. We'll put our faith in Iowans, and I can promise you without hesitation, Iowans won't let us down. So with that, we'll be happy to take any questions on topic, and then I think we'll open it up for other questions, but we'll do on topic to begin with. No, I feel really, I'm very optimistic about where we are right now with tax reform in Iowa. The fact that I have a bill, I have our bill, a bill in the House, which is a big chunk of my bill, and a bill in the Senate, that tells me and tells Iowans, I hope that we are going to get something done this year. We should get something done this year. I think it's a great bill, and so, okay, we'll work through that negotiation process like we do each and every year on policy that's important to Iowans. And so I look forward to the conversation and working through it, and I think we're going to end up in a really good place. Well, you know, like I said, everything is on the table. So just like we did last year when we put the compromise package together, it took the three leaders sitting down at the table, walking through the priorities of each chamber and my office, figuring out areas that we could give and take. And I thought we ended up with a really, really significant bill through that compromise last year, things that they had been working on for a long time, like removing the mental health levy off of property taxes. We were one of the few states that still funded that service in that manner, and it just was not, it shouldn't have been done that way. So after years and years of trying to get that done, we were able to come together last year and get that done. So, you know, we'll work through it, we'll sit down, and I think we'll end up in a really good place. And I think if you look at the history over the last several years, this isn't a one and done. I am telling you, every state across this country is doing exactly what we are doing in Iowa. And if we are going to remain competitive, we have to continue to do it in a responsible way. But that means, you know, we'll take a look next year. I passed the largest tax cut and the legislature signed it in 2018. We came back last year and we took another step, and it's really put us in a good place to be able to take that next step this year. So over the 4 years, as we continue to get to a flat tax, we're going to continue to reevaluate. My projections is we're going to continue to see growth and prosperity in every corner of the state, and that's going to provide additional revenue that we can, again, return back to hardworking employees and to Iowans, and to really help our businesses be competitive and continue to grow and expand and invest in the state of Iowa. So we're on the right trajectory, and hopefully the numbers will continue to drive that, but we'll continue to review that as we move forward.
On that Iowa piece, are you comfortable with the way, the mechanism that Senate proposal funds?
Really, we're going to sit down. This is not a discussion I'm going to have with the media. We're going to sit down and talk to legislators, and we're going to take a look at what it looks like, how, where we can agree, where we maybe need to change and make some different changes. But you know, we're going to, I've made the commitment, we're going to look at all three bills, and we're going to sit down and see where we end up. I just believe we're going to end up in a good place. Well, that's what we're going to do. I know that we can do it at the 4%. We've ran the runs. We've done various scenarios. We've been very conservative in our projections. We've built in growth. It was important to me that we can honor priorities. I wanted Iowans to know that we're not going to be irresponsible. We're still going to be able to fund education and public safety, water quality issues that are important to Iowans. So we've ran a lot of different projections, but we'll continue to look at some of the numbers that they've ran. And again, that'll be part of the conversation when we sit down to negotiate what that final bill looks like. Yeah, I've said all along, in fact, we had it on our original bill, kind of some mechanism to do a holistic review of our tax credits and do like a return on investment, see which ones are working, you know, to just walk through that process. And so we're going to do that within our office over the interim. And so, again, but that, because we have opened up that conversation with the Senate bill, they've addressed a couple. That'll be part of the discussions that we'll have when we sit down and start to work our way to a compromise. But that'll be part of the, you know, I'm sure part of the discussion going forward, and we just need to figure out. I like to keep it simple. I like to be competitive. When we talk about corporate tax rate, we are tied for third highest in the nation. 9.8 is our tax rate. Illinois, California, New York are lower than Iowa. And I had the Siouxland Chamber was in my office yesterday, northwest corner of the state. They butt up against, as you know, South Dakota and Nebraska, and they can't compete. I mean, South Dakota has zero corporate income tax. Pete is at 7.5%, and they are saying that existing business owners, when they're talking about maybe starting a new business or expanding what they have, they're going north and they're going west because of the environment. And so we need to get in the game. We need to do it responsibly. We are not competitive. There are, I think it's like 11 states out of 44 that charge a corporate income tax rate that are below 5%. I'm trying to get to 5.5 flat. There are 11 states today, that have a corporate tax rate under 5%. So that's what I'm saying. Every state is very competitive. because they know that's what you need to do to be in the game and to compete. We are an outlier in where we're at now. We have tax credits that offset some of that, but it's still, that's why, let's keep it simple. Let's just do what we need to do, and then let's get out there and compete. We have a low cost of living. We have a great quality of life. We have a phenomenal workforce. We check a lot of boxes for why. Guess what? We kept our kids in school. We kept our economy open. I got parents that still have kids that aren't in the classroom on the East and the West Coast. I cannot even imagine what those families are going through and the impact that it has had on the children, especially those who can't afford to maybe provide some alternative education for their kids while they're not in a classroom. So, you know, we got a great story to tell. So if I can get our rates competitive, watch out. And I'm a little competitive, so I'm ready to go. I think we all are, right? We're Iowans. We're competitive. That's what we do. That's another, I think, strength that we bring to the table. Well, I can. Anybody that pays a tax will see them go down. We have a large number of Iowans that qualify for the earned income tax credit. In fact, if you make $50,000 and below, you qualify for some level of the earned Iowa income tax credit. Last year, we had 207,000. Filers that were able to offset their, if they had any tax obligation, it was able to offset that. And many times, even when they don't have a tax obligation, they are receiving a refund. I'll give you an example. I've given this before. I don't know if you were able to, if you were in the gaggle that I did, but I'll just give you an example and we can provide more. A single mom with two kids under the age of 10 who qualifies for the earned income tax credit, and potentially she would for the child care tax credit, and makes $34,000 a year under the existing tax plan, the one that we're in right now, she would get about, $1,500 back. So no tax liability, $1,500 back. Under the new plan, not only would all of that be the same, but she would get about $2,000 back. So it would actually increase the amount that she's getting back. So, you know, it is fair. It's flat. We have a lot that don't pay any tax because some of the tax credits are in place. My understanding, federal government just increased the amount of individuals from federal that qualify for that. So it's fair. And, you know, we're also, don't forget, David, we're working with Iowans every single day to not only help those that are unemployed get the skills to get a job, but we're helping Iowans and single moms and dads that are underemployed, helping them get the skills to fill amazing jobs like the ones that were just talked about by Chandler here at LBS, so that they can have a career, have health insurance benefits, and look at this, have a ownership in a company, and then have a pension when they retire that's tax-free. I think that's a pretty good, that's exciting. Those are the kind of things we're working on. Uh-huh. Well, I think it's a fair amount. That's what I've committed to every year. It's an increase. We've all, you know, over the last decade, we've put over $1 billion into K-12 education. Public education is 56% of the state's budget. And another component of this right now that we don't want to lose sight on, because we have federal dollars coming into the state, we've had a lot of ESSER funds that have come into the state. So the state gets an allocation of ESSER funds, and then each one of the school districts also get their own allocation of ESSER 1 and ESSER 2 funds. And so right now, I checked on this morning, as of the end of December, districts were still sitting on, they hadn't used $793 million in ESSER 1 and ESSER 2 funds. So I don't think it's a lack of funding that we're providing for our K-12 education. We've actually increased funding every year that, you know, I've been in office, and actually prior to that, that predates me with Governor Branstad as the Lieutenant Governor, over $1 billion, as I said, increase in K-12 education. So, you know, it's a priority. I think we've indicated that. I just want to remind you all, the last time education was actually cut, it was when the Democrats were in control of the legislature and the governor's office. It was a 10% across-the-board cut. That was an actual cut, and it was in the existing budget year. So they had already budgeted for that money, and they came in and did a 10% across-the-board cut. Increasing year over year is an increase. The Biden inflation, the 40-year high inflation. Yeah, there's a lot of $793 million. Well, they have, I think, 3 years to spend it. But you take that and add to what we're doing with the allocation for the SSA through the state. We're doing well. We're also working with them on STEMBEST. We're working with them on registered apprenticeship programs. We're working with them on dual enrollment. So there's a lot of other ways that we're also working with our school districts to help give our kids a great education. And the fact of the matter is, you know, what is the magic dollar? I mean, you know, is it about the money that we put into education, or is it about truly finding an education system that prepares our young people for the future? And it needs to change. And that means work-based learning. That means registered apprenticeship programs. That means getting our young people connected with the businesses in our state so they can see the amazing careers that they exist right here. You knew it because you had a family member that worked here. It's making those kind of connections, giving them credit for that. It's doing all of those things. And we have, Dave, invested in all of those things. We have had a status quo budget, I think, since I've been as a lieutenant governor and governor. And you know what? We need to learn how to be more efficient and effective. I'm looking at a lot of the agencies. I am in the process of bringing together the Department of Public Health and the Health and Human Services. Because there's a lot of duplication, and we can actually, I think, bring those two agencies together and better serve Iowans, streamline processes. We need to use data better than we are. The state and government does a horrible job of investing in technology and really utilizing real-time data to make decisions in real time. We should operate like a business. Instead, we operate like a bureaucracy, and it's more money, more money, more money. Never change a program, never reevaluate. Some programs have been on the books for 40 years. You'd be out of existence if they operated like they did 40 years ago. They wouldn't be here today. This is a 100-year-old company that has remade and reinvented and brought in new opportunities to build their customer base, and that's how you continue to survive and thrive and grow our economy. And that's what we need to be doing as a government. We need to look at different ways that we can be better, more efficient, serve Iowans, and then get that money back to taxpayers who are funding, by the way, all of this. And that includes education. I've taken a lot of questions. Thank you. I'm very excited about it. I think it's the right thing to do. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited about it. I think informed parents make informed choices. It's not a zero-sum game. If we allow parents to make the decision and I thought Senator Sinclair said it right, taxpayer education, parents should have a choice and where they want their students to go. And, you know, some of what we're seeing in education today, not everywhere. There are great schools, great teachers, great doing great things out there. But if you can't, if it doesn't reflect your values, then as a parent, you should have an option. And it shouldn't just be for wealthy people that can afford to send their child to the school that they want to. I mean, everybody says they're for the middle class and the lower class and the underserved until it comes to education, which is the biggest game changer of all. And when it comes to education, we say, I'm sorry, you don't make enough money, you know. So you don't get the choice. your child has to stay where they're at. I just don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's right. So, thank you.